desire the prayers this morning for the word of the Lord. Our thoughts have been on the Spirit of God and the power of God and what that means to us. I have said, and you have probably heard it, that not one of us asked to be born. Not any child that comes into this world has anything to do with coming into this world. And therefore, it seems in my mind that God has and feels a grave responsibility for every soul. So, a passage that I want to begin with this morning is Ephesians 1 and 17 through 19. And this is Paul, and he is praying for the saints at Ephesus. And I'm just going to give the core thoughts and sort of present it like in third person. So Paul's prayer was that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ may give unto them the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that the eyes of their understanding be enlightened, that they may know the hope of his calling and the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And then I've put down here, and furthermore, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. So our thoughts this morning, as I said, is concerning the Spirit of God. And I want to include with that topic or thought the exceeding greatness of his power to usward. We are all familiar with the word of the Lord that says that God is a spirit. Scripture goes on at that same place and says, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So none of us here this morning have seen God. And there are a number of scriptures that tell us that no man hath seen God at any time. There's a passage over in Exodus 33 and 20, and it says, there shall no man see me and live. And yet Moses did see. He was allowed to see the backside of God. So we have those that have witnessed that God is God. He's a powerful God. He is the living God. He is the one true God. He is the creator of all of the universe. His power is past our understanding sometimes. Not sometimes, all the time. What he is to us has been those things that were revealed. And as I read this passage of Paul's prayer for Ephesus, I wanted to also say that that's my prayer for you today and for me. I never forget that when I stand before you, I'm speaking to myself as well. And so I desire this morning for the Lord, by His Spirit, that we will be able to receive that spirit of wisdom, that spirit of revelation. And I'm going to call it a spirit of understanding and enlightenment. And that we may understand the riches of what the Lord is wanting us to inherit. We didn't have anything to do with coming into this world, but we have a lot to do with what we do in this world and how we react and how we receive and how we believe and how we accept what God has to offer to us. This is not going to be anything new this morning. I believe what the Lord is desiring is that we just be refreshed and inspired and comforted that God is very mindful of each one of us today. He knows your name. He knows your address. He's a discerner of our thoughts and our intentions. And he just knows everything about us. He knows your future. We don't know what's tomorrow. That's how frail and feeble that mankind is. We think sometimes we can control what's on the morrow, but in reality, we cannot. But God is already there. So, I'm going to try to be as concise and the subject itself is bigger than big. And it's going to take the Spirit of God and the power of God to give to you what you need out of this. And as you leave here today, what God wants to do is be real to you personally. He wants each one of us to walk with Him hand in hand. He wants to be able to go before us. He wants to winnow our path. He wants to order our steps. He wants to not only be real to each one of us, but as we live our life, He wants us to be able to look back and trace how God has led us. So we want to go now just a little, I called it an extension of God Himself, which is Jesus Christ, His Son. We're going to try to combine this, that it open up our minds. As I said, it is nothing new, but Christ came from God. And God was God the Father. It is a marvelous thing, the plan of God, that even from the beginning He had a plan for mankind, for you and for me, but He took on the human flesh, the human feelings, the human mind. He experienced everything that you and I, that mankind would know, because He wanted us to know that He Himself understands and understood, or He wants us to feel that His compassion is real to each one of us. He became the visible God. We've already stated that God himself is a spirit and is invisible to us. But Christ became the visible part of God, and that there were witnesses, and this is what the witnesses said in the word of the Lord, 1 John 1:1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. So Christ came in the form of God as a man. And those witnesses were able to express the things they heard, the things they saw. They touched him. They felt of him. We need only look at his after his resurrection. He still manifested some portion of his human flesh. He didn't always open a door and walk in. He appeared unto them. He had the form of eternal spirit. And we know the part there where Thomas said to the others, when he heard he was risen from the dead, he said, I'm not going to believe unless I see the nail prints in his hands and I feel the place in his side. And Jesus appeared. And he said to Thomas, Thomas, come here. Feel of me. And he did. And what did Thomas say? Oh, my Lord and my God. He was real. He was flesh, and yet he was spirit. So I'm just going to skip around a little bit. I'm going to speak a little bit about the instructions that he gave his disciples. He knew they were going to need more than what they had when he departed. When he was no longer physically with them. And so he told them, he said, I want you to tarry at Jerusalem. And I want you to wait for the promise. And I want you to, the one scripture says, ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses of me. And he said also, it was recorded in one of the Gospels just before he was taken up, behold, I send the promise of my Father. Tarry until ye be endued with power from on high. You see how that he didn't just come and he didn't just say, well, you all do the best that you can. I've given you my word. I've given you my teachings. I've given you the promises. Now just go and do the best that you can. He didn't do that. He said, I'm going to send the Comforter. And the Comforter will have a great responsibility. Oh, I want to tell you today, if ever there's a time that you and I need to submit ourselves unto God and receive his Spirit within us, and then to receive the power of the Holy Spirit through the sanctifying power. Oh, there is such a work that it wants to do in our lives. And the scripture indicates we're not going to make heaven without it. So the Holy Ghost, the promise is, and we sang of it this morning, it will lead us. It will guide us. It will keep us. It will It will comfort us. It is called the Comforter. But it gives us the power to overcome our own flesh, our own humanity. As I thought on this, I thought, now where is Christ right now? Well, we know the scripture says that he is sitting at the right hand of God. You see, his work was finished here, but it will forever be ongoing as the intercessor. He is so concerned about you and about me and helping us, and he's interceding for you today at the right hand of the Father. There's other scriptures. It says in 1 John 2 and 1, Jesus is our advocate with the Father. Another scripture says, he always lives to intercede. That should be such a comfort to each one of us today. Yes, he's gone into the heavens. He's out of sight. We have not physically seen Christ in the flesh, but there were witnesses who did. And we can believe that God is a spirit and has all power in heaven and in earth, and that he wants to help you and me. He feels a great burden for your soul in this life, in this time world. And he wants, the scripture says, he's not willing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. That's his desire. And we that are represented here today have a testimony. I have repented. I am his child. He is my father. Jesus is my brother. And he's interceding for you today. Thank the Lord. Doesn't that comfort you? So the work of Christ, we say, was complete. He said on the cross it was finished. But in reality, it was completed with the inception of the Holy Spirit. It's a wonderful thing to turn over and read there in Acts, of where the disciples and 120 of individuals were waiting in the upper room as he had instructed them. And then suddenly, and you know, the Holy Spirit was given in a manner in which it was never given like that again. And God works that way. The Spirit had to be demonstrated of the power that it could possess and do. And we read there that it was there was suddenly a rushing mighty wind. It came as a wind, and then it came as cloven tongues that were set up on each of their heads. And it says in there, it said they were filled with the Holy Ghost. I want to say something today. Let's not be afraid of being filled with the power of God. Let's not be afraid of the Holy Spirit. We have light and understanding, and the scriptures have spoken of the power of the Holy Spirit. And it is not as some say. The scripture in that place said they began to speak as the Spirit gave them utterances. And if you read that, oh, it's so rich to read about this particular event, because it was at the time of the wheat harvest, or the Passover, not the Passover, it was the Pentecost. The Pentecost did not mean then what people call it today. The word Pentecost was simply 50 days after harvest. And it was a time that all of the Jews came together from every nation. And when they began to speak as the Spirit gave them utterances, they all heard it in their own language. That is the gift of tongues. May we not be confused or affected by whatever the world may present or say. This is a marvelous thing. And you might say, well, why do we not see it now? Well, I will tell you why. We're not in a mixed multitude today with various languages. But down through history, there's been records where there were various nationalities come together. I'm talking about not that many years ago. And the gift of tongues was spoken, and they all heard it in their own language. It's a marvel. That's the power of God. And it's by His Spirit that He promoted this thing. And so you look back at the Tower of Babel. When they were going to try to do it their own way, they were going to build this thing that they would never have to go through a flood again, that they would have a way to survive. They were going to have it above any destruction. They wanted to reach heaven, and God said it's not good. And so he changed their languages, and they had to, they couldn't communicate. That was the destroying of a common language. But on the day of Pentecost, he brought it back together. And the marvel of it was that from every nation, they could go back to their nation, to their country, and they would be able to speak the words of life that they heard. And it was spread. So thank God for the gift of tongues. You and I are all of the same tongue this morning. There is not a need for me to utter any other language but this language. But should it come to a need, do you believe that God can do it again? We believe it because it's the Word of God. Praise God. So we've just given a little brief overview, you might say, of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The workings of the Spirit and the power of God is, I put down here, I wrote it like this, transcending in the embodiment of God the Son. And then when the Spirit of God was the inception of it, it was the operation and the working by the very same Spirit, and it was by the same power, and it was through God. And then it was God the Holy Ghost. He covered all of the bases, you might say. But without one part, where would we be today? Thank God for God Himself. Thank God for God the Son, and thank God for the Holy Spirit. It can work in us. It's still working in people today. So I'd like for us to consider now the recipient. I called it the recipient of God's Spirit and power, which is man. And we know what the Scripture says, that when God was creating all of the universe, then He took some clay or dirt or whatever is the composition, and He created a man. And the Scripture says He did it in His own likeness, in His image. Whether we can look at one another and say, well, you know, God looks like us, or maybe we just simply look like Him. We know that God has features the scripture designates the features of God. He has a mind. He has eyes. He has a nose. He has a mouth. He has ears. All of that is in the word of the Lord. We can find scriptures that support every one of those. He has hands. He can touch us. He also has feelings. So we know the features of God, and he created a man that was in his image. But he did something different with man than what he did with the other creatures of the earth. He breathed into his nostrils, and man became a living soul. He has a part of that spirit that we are all familiar with. That's the part that's going to live on for all eternity. It's an eternal part that is with us. The outward flesh is going to go back to dust. The scripture tells us that. But the soul. And then we find a scripture, and I want to read it to you. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body. So how many parts does man have? We know that man has a body. We know that man has a soul. But man also has a spirit. And that's really the direction that my thoughts are going, but maybe for another message. Your spirit is very important to you, whether you know it or not, whether you recognize the spirit that is in you. Your spirit your spirit is your name, who you are. Your spirit is affected by all things around about us. Your spirit is affected by what you hear, what you read. Oh yes, your soul is affected too, but it's all part of man. Now, I was listening to a message this week. Brother Hargrave, most of you younger generation will not remember Brother Hargrave, but he held many revival meetings in this congregation, and he was a very powerful preacher, I think. He died, I say, too young. He was not an old man, but he made one statement in that message that I had to back up and listen to it again, and I wrote it down. It says, there is a spirit of God that animates and charges all godliness, righteousness, and truth. What do you think that those two words, animates and charges? That's part of his responsibility to mankind. You have a body, you have a soul that is eternal, and you have a spirit that is affected by all around us. The scripture plainly tells us that you can only serve one master, and it affects your whole life. It affects your soul. It will affect your body, but it influences your spirit. So this morning, we want to lift up the fact that God is, he animates and charges all godliness and righteousness and truth. Those are things that come from God, that reaches out to influence your thinking, your beliefs, your spirit, the life of your soul, the actions of your body. So we want to talk a little bit about the power of God. In Psalm 62 and 11, just a little portion, it says, "Power belongeth unto God." Spiritual power. It's a God we cannot see with our eyes. And though we cannot see him, don't we still believe in him? We do. Amen. And it says that the spiritual power is God given through the indwelling. You have power this morning. Do we desire power to overcome? Power to overcome my flesh? What kind of power does God have to offer to each one of us? I can tell you one thing. God gives you and me power to forgive. Because he has it. That's a very tight line that he has drawn. He drew this in the sand, so to speak. This is where I'm going to draw the line. Because I know that you are going to be offended. I've told you in the Word, it's impossible. But that offenses are going to come. You're going to be wounded and hurt. And you're going to be hurt to the core. And you're going to be disappointed in man. And man will fail you. Don't forget that. Only God will never fail you. But he knew that if we are unforgiving, we've got bitterness. And the scripture plainly says that when we have bitterness in our heart, it will spring up and it will grow and many others will be defiled. So he set a standard and he says, I'm going to give you power that whatever happens to you in your life, I'm going to give you power to overcome it, to forgive those that trespass against you. Oh, I want to tell you, that's a wonderful power from God. Because many times you and I feel like we can't forgive. How many times have you been hurt and you said, I just can't forgive? I've said it. It takes time sometimes, but the Spirit of God is right there to strengthen your spirit, that you will have a resolve. I'm determined. I'm not going to quit until I have forgiven. Because he said, if you do not forgive, I cannot forgive you. That's why it's such a tight line. But he has the power for you and me that we can forgive others. Thank the Lord. Oh, there are so many things that God wants to give us power to overcome. In more ways than we could even give today. You may have something very distinct in your life that you need to overcome. God, the Spirit of God, and the power of God, and through the sacrifice of Jesus and his blood, and then through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can overcome. The scripture says, and they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. How important is your testimony? We know that the blood of the Lamb is the most important. But to be able to stand and say, God gave me power to overcome this in my life, whatever it is, He's interested. He feels a grave responsibility for your soul and for your life because you didn't ask to be born. But He has not left you without help. Thank the Lord. So, power belongeth unto God. And then I was thinking of there's so many scriptures that we could relate. God hath not given us the spirit of fear. But what has He given to us? But of power and of love and a sound mind. He wants us to love one another as He has loved us. How did He love you? When He could have cut you off, and He didn't. He loved us enough to bear long with us. Even if we're in that place where we think we cannot forgive, He still is bearing long, bringing us to the place that we can. Whatever we are needing power to overcome, God is able to help us. Thank the Lord. Now I want to read John 1 and 12 and 13. And it said, as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. You know, you couldn't have made yourself a child of God. You might say, oh, I'm a Christian. Oh, I believe. But until you have taken the way of the cross and followed the path that He's laid for us, that we repent with godly repentance, and He has covered those things with His blood, never to remember them anymore. What a mighty God we serve. Do you remember your sins? Certainly. And the enemy would like for us to be tormented by the memory of our sins. I could sit right there this morning, some of the songs we were singing, and I was thinking of one of our songs, even spoke of it. The one we sang out of the Blue Book speaks about where I once was. And it says, there's no voice now to answer the call. Those things that I once took pleasure in. I sat there and thought about some of the things that I once took pleasure in. But oh, praise God, His power came in and overthrew the joy of things unlawful. Oh, thank the Lord. You couldn't do it yourself. How many people have purposed? We know that they try to make New Year's resolutions, and I'm never going to do this again. I'm never going to do that again. And give it a little time, and they're doing it again. But God has the power for you and me to overcome. Thank the Lord. So it says here that He gave them power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood and of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. Let us value the Spirit of God, and let us value the power of His Christ, and let us value the power of the Holy Spirit, which can dwell in us and work in us Oh, it's a marvel at what the plan of God was. So perfect. It was entire. It was wanting nothing. It didn't need anything added to it. It didn't need anything taken away from it. And it still works today. That's the marvel, that in all of these years it has not diminished in its power or its work. And as long as this world is in existence, whatever generations come and whatever generations go, there's still the hope of the power of God working in men's lives. And you and I can maybe listen to I was out in the car and I was listening to the news, and it's very distressing. I hardly have the radio on any time, but I found it so dark and so evil. Do we get in despair because of the evil and darkness of this world? Is light being presented to your feet, your path? We're walking in the light. As long as we walk in the light, we will not walk in darkness. As long as we walk in the Spirit, we will not be walking in the flesh. And therefore, we hope in God, because he said, where sin doth abound, my grace doth much more abound. Praise God. So ever how bad it gets, can it get worse? Well, it has certainly become worse than what we anticipated. But do you still have grace? Does the power of God still uphold you? It can. Thank the Lord. So I want to speak just a little bit concerning the power of his grace. And I'm going to be referring to Paul, 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10. Paul, as we know, was given a thorn in the flesh, something that he said buffeted him. Verse 8, he said, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. You and I may have something in our lives we would prefer not to have to bear. I would say every one of us may. And maybe we would be as Paul and seek for it to be taken away. He did it three times. But the Lord answered him like this. He said, for my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. And then Paul said, most gladly will I glory in my... Now listen to the list. My infirmities. That in reproaches. Has anybody been reproached this week? You felt some reproach? Maybe some scorn? Maybe you're even remembering some time at some point when somebody did reproach you and scorn you. I want to tell you, don't hesitate in those places. Don't tarry in those thoughts. You allow the power of God to help you overcome. So he said, I'm going to take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I powerful. I'm powerfully strong. And there's another translation that I heard this years ago, and it says, for when I am in a corner, then am I dynamite. You know, that's the power of God to help us to overcome. So I'm going to close now with a portion of a prayer. I think I'll give Brother Hargrave's statement before I give this. There is a Spirit of God that animates and charges all godliness, righteousness, and truth. That was given in 1989. And look how many years now we're past that. But it's still true today. So I want to give portions of Christ's prayer just before he went to the garden to make the consecration of doing God's will and giving up his life. And I'm just going to give you portions that I feel speak to us. This is from the 17th chapter of John. These words spake Jesus as he lifted up his eyes to heaven. He said, "The hour is come. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work thou gavest me to do. As thou hast given me power over all flesh, that I should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given me. I pray for them." Who is he praying for now? He's praying for those that have received this power. "I pray for them. I pray not for the world, for they are mine. For these that thou hast given me, they are mine. These are in the world. Keep these." This prayer is reaching down to you and me today. We're in the world. We're not of the world. And he's praying right now that we or they may be one as we are one. "I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them by your power," I added that, "from the evil of the world. Neither pray I for these alone." This is the part that I love. He's praying for those that his disciples at that time, his followers of that time, and then he changes it and he said, "I'm not praying for these only. I am praying for them also which shall believe on me through their word." That's us. He's praying for you and me. He's not saying, "Lord, take them out of this world. They can't bear it any longer." He's praying that that you and I will be kept by his power. "Father, I desire that they also be with me where I am." Where is that? It's in heaven. He had a desire. He prayed for us long before. And he said, "I want everyone to be with me in heaven. I want them to be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world." Thank the Lord. I think a whole lot more could probably be given this today, but maybe for another time. I desire you to pray. Let us pray for one another, that no one will fail the grace of God, that the power of his Christ will work a work in us. Amen.